Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Brett Mosley. I will be hosting, this is the kickoff episode of the Integrity in Law Enforcement and Correction. This is the very first show, and my first time, and my name is Britt Mosley. We have a series of shows on human right demand.
Hello, everyone. This is Mary Neal. Thank you for joining us here at Human Rights Demand. This is Human Rights Demand. And I believe our host is on the air also. His name is Britton Mosley. Mr. Mosley, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Mary?
I'm doing fine. I didn't hear you, so I didn't know you were on the air.
Yeah, I've had a little technical difficulties here.
All right. Well, you're on the air, sir. We want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. We want to welcome you to Human Rights Demand Channel and your radio show. What is it named?
It's Integrity in Law Enforcement and Correction.
Wonderful. Integrity and Law Enforcement and Corrections. Well, we're very excited to have Britton Mosley as the first host here at Human Rights Demand. And I'm going to leave it to you, Mr. Britton Mosley, to let us know about what you have to tell us regarding law enforcement and corrections with integrity. Integrity and Law Enforcement and Corrections. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Mary. Greetings, everyone. My name is Britt Mosley. I'm a former correctional officer and administrator in the state of Mississippi. And I chose the name Integrity because Webster defined integrity as incorruptible and honest. This is why I chose that particular name, Integrity. Integrity affects everybody. And one thing about integrity, it has no color, it has no political affiliation. You either have it or you don't. And the objective of this program is to shine light on a lot of things that occur in this profession, law enforcement and correction. Most of the time, the law enforcement gets the bad things that happen in law enforcement get all the press. Where most of the time, if somebody been across the line and abusing their authority, and they get all the press, and the people that put their life on the line every day and do a good job very seldom get recognized. And the same way it is in correction. In correction, your life is on the line every day. It's also like you're doing time right along with the inmates, but you get out every day and come back. And so what people fail to realize is that you're inside of a prison with some of the most dangerous people in our society. And usually a correctional officer is not armed. They just have their verbal commands in order to control a lot of these inmates. And some of these inmates have mental issues and all types of problems and anger and what have you. And a lot of times a correctional officer has to diffuse a lot of these emotions. And it can be pretty dangerous at times. But the people that choose these particular fields, I can speak for myself, you're not going to get rich being a police or correctional officer, but you got to have a fulfillment every day that you feel good about human rights and trying to help people turn their life around. And that was the thing that I enjoyed about the job mostly. I got a chance to interact and have a positive impact on a lot of the inmates. But with this kind of mindset comes a lot of problems, too, because there are some that don't look at you favorably for doing this. You get labeled. You become a target. And this is a very serious problem that I think need to be addressed, because it disrupts the integrity of the operation, where if you got one part of your correctional officer doing the right thing and using integrity as their stepping stone, and where you got others want to abuse their power. So you get a bad name, you know. We as a society, we like bad things make good press. Nobody want to hear about things good that people do. It's always what they do bad. And so the objective of this program is to bridge a gap between the community and the law enforcement and correctional field, because it's been hampered over lately. You can't help from seeing all the different things that occur on a daily basis, where people are killed and abused by law enforcement and correction. And some of it is justified, and some of it isn't, because what people fail to realize, you're dealing with human beings and human emotions. And being a law enforcement, everything happens so fast. You have to make split decisions. And some of them, you know, bad as it seems, sometimes it's going to make mistakes. And sometimes it's intentional. You know, some people bring, a lot of times people bring their prejudice and displease to the job with them. And they step out of line. I know firsthand. And sometimes innocent people in the law enforcement get a raw deal for having integrity. And you're left in a very lonely position, because I found out that there's nobody there for you when you get labeled by law enforcement and correction. And I feel very strongly about this, because usually people that become an advocate because of things that have occurred in their life. And that's what motivated me to take part in Ms. Neal's human rights demand movement. And I think it's needed and it's timely, because there's a lot of people's lives are turned upside down because of a person's dislike towards you. When I worked in the correctional, I spoke out against brutality and misconduct by my fellow workers, and that made me become a target. And I had two failed drug possession attempts made against me because I spoke out. I look at it as I was like 5 minutes away from prison. Two of my superiors planted 2 ounces of marijuana at my desk while they hid in their office, with the mindset of they was going to bust me and arrest me and send me to prison for something I didn't do. But divine intervention kicked in, and I discovered the marijuana before they could get their plan in motion. And when I continued to work there, I had requested an investigation by the Justice Department. And while this investigation was being conducted, they was plotting again to plant more marijuana on me. That's when an inmate came forward and told me that they was going to let him out of prison if he participated in setting me up. And I wired the inmate, and what was on that tape was very heartbreaking, you know, because these were some people that I worked with every day. And to think that they had no regards for my life my family or me, you know, I'm a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. And when you think about these things, you can't help from being bitter because and grateful in the same context because what didn't happen is a lot to be thankful for. And I'm thankful every day that the outcome could have been a lot worse than what it was. But it did create tremendous financial hardship for me that I hadn't recovered from yet. And when I think about it, you know, I am grateful, but I think these kind of stories need to be told because there's no place for this in society because nobody is exempted from this type of behavior. You know, this is the dark side of correction and law enforcement. It's happening not only in the prison system, but it's happening out in the streets. And we got to come together and put a stop to this because people's lives are devastated. You know, it's hard enough to serve time in prison for something you did. But I can't imagine what it would have been like serving time in prison for something you didn't do. It's mind-boggling. And it's a funny thing about it, when I started working at the correction facility, I had a lot of inmates to come forward to me and say, "Mr. Moser, I was set up." And so they set me up. I didn't believe them, you know. I thought, oh, yeah, that's a likely story, until I become victim. And I was just blown away by the fact that I was that close to being put in prison. And the first thing that came to my mind is a couple of inmates that I know that was really teary-eyed about telling me how they were set up. And I've been troubled by that ever since. And some of the things that I experienced in the prison system is I was traumatized by it because it was hard to believe in these days can be so brutal and heartless where they could want to ruin a person's life just because they don't like them. And it's happening. But on a brighter note, there are things being done. I was very excited about some news I got today where the Obama administration is working to commute the sentences of low-level drug offense. And this is going to be just, I'm really excited about it because I really don't think kids should be in prison for drug possession. And it makes this country look bad even more so now that you got two states that allow marijuana use. And then you got people serving time in prison. It's very hypocritical. And I think we as a nation need to get behind this new law because a lot of families have been affected by their loved ones in the prison system. And make no mistake about it, I think prisons are necessary. But we also need to for violent offenders. But these low-level drug offense, these guys need to be back out in the society, being productive citizens. And we need to get behind and make sure that this transition is smooth. And Ms. Neal, are you still there?
I am still here, and I'm enjoying your presentation. And I agree with you that drugs, possession of drugs, particularly very low-level drugs like marijuana, or even I'm for legalizing all drugs, frankly, and I believe that a couple of countries have done that, and they saw lesser use of drugs. I think that part of the problem with drugs is that the fact that they're illegal tends to attract certain people. And, you know, making something illegal that an adult decides to do with his or her money or his and her body, that's a little bit paternalistic to my idea. And I do not agree that drug use is fine. I do not agree that people should abuse their bodies. I do not agree that it's right to as people say, get messed up or get high or need drugs to make it through your day, because I know that, you know, drug and alcohol usage do not make things better. But I also believe in free choice and people deciding what they want to do with their bodies and what they want to do with their money. And I don't necessarily feel that government should regulate that, especially if it comes down to a situation where you see a person committing suicide and you say, oh, don't commit suicide, let us kill you. Because actually the cure that was applied to the war on drugs, the cure for it, has turned out to be worse than if the person used marijuana or if the person used cocaine or whatever. Because the cure for it, the cure that the government came up for it, has been mass incarceration at a tremendous cost to the drug user, to his family and community, and to taxpayers as a whole. This country now pays something like $75 billion a year to incarcerate 2.3 million people. $75 billion. And, of course, not all the arrests have been about drugs, but that's the major cause of arrest. It's something to do with the drug war. That's a major cause. And also, it's criminalized a lot of people who probably would have been over their little fascination with marijuana by now and been on with their productive lives. I believe that most of the lawmakers may have even gone through a phase where they smoked a marijuana cigarette at some point. But they set up and make these laws and say if you're caught, and it's not just if you're caught, it's if you're caught smoking while black, if you're caught smoking while poor, because there are very few wealthy people, people with means, who are incarcerated in the war on drugs, very few. In fact, I saw the video, and I'm sure you saw it, Britton Mosley, where this law officer, he was with the DEA, he was a black man, and his unit was charged with, you know, they fought the war on drugs. They went and kicked in doors and did raids and what have you. But he began to notice after a point that they were only assigned to do that in black areas, not white areas. And he said, why are we always doing these home invasions and these drug arrests and what have you in black areas and not white areas? And he said that he was told that, no, we don't arrest white kids for marijuana. We don't do drug raids in white areas. These people have means. These people have connections. You don't arrest their children over marijuana. You don't go kicking in their door over drugs. No. We just stick to what we can get away with. And so that's what's done. It's a very racist game. So that's a big part of it, and I'm glad that marijuana was deregulated in two states. Well, it wasn't deregulated, but it was legalized to a point in two states. And I think that that needs to be done in all 50 states. I also think that people who are already locked up for possession charges should be let go. people who are going through hell, locked up from their families, locked up from their lives that they could be pursuing. You know, many people have many gifts. Everybody has some gift. And we are missing a lot because we've locked up a whole generation of people, almost incarcerated. And we're missing whatever they would have contributed to society because they were caught. Some of them with a little marijuana, some of them with a little cocaine. They were caught. That's the difference between those people who are locked up and some of us who are talking now, is that they were caught. And for some people, the difference is that they were caught and they were prosecuted, whereas you were caught and you were taken home to your mom or dad because you were a person of means or you were Caucasian. So it's not, there's nothing even balanced about the justice system and how laws are applied. But I'm glad for whatever is going to happen that will help regarding this issue. So thank you for telling us about that, Britton Mosley.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mary. What you said, I co-sign it quite well. I know firsthand the ratio, the racial ratio, because 85% of the inmates was incarcerated in the system in the Mississippi Department of Corrections were blacks. And I would say 75% of it was drug related. And like I remember that video vividly about what that DEA agent said. He said that the guy that he told that to was a white officer. He said, "Man, you don't want to mess about overtime." So it appeared that the bottom line is all about money. But I done seen how this impact people's lives. I've seen some very talented young men in the prison system, and to have their lives turned upside down like that, it's heartbreaking. And it's very heartbreaking being a correctional officer because you being a father and you see your child, you know, as if that could very well be your child in that prison system. And most of the guys, I'm a baby boomer, and most of the baby boomers I know, and a lot of law enforcement, I'm not trying to set nobody out, they got high. You know, a lot of successful people that come along that I knew from my childhood that became just about every profession that you could name, a lot of them got high during their early years and they still getting high. And these are the people that need to come forward and speak out for these young men who don't have a voice. Because today is somebody else's child. Tomorrow it could be your child, your grandchild. So you need to get on board with this advocacy that me and Ms. Neal has got kicked off here as human rights demand and support us. Because it's needed. It's needed. I'm pleading to people to get aboard because it's very painful to watch young men that could be out being productive citizens locked in prison, sitting around, you know, all these guys, fine, healthy young men could be out doing something productive that's in prison for the same thing that the people put them in prison did themselves when they was young. And I'm calling you out. I'm calling out all of these hypocrites that make these laws and send these kids to prison that they spent most of their young life high. You know, you need to right this wrong. You need to right it, and it needs to be done now. It should have been done yesterday, but we definitely need to do it now because it's not working. This war on drugs is not working. And everybody's seeing now what a miserable failure it's been and how costly it's been. The amount of money that you done spent incarcerating individuals, you could have sent them to get a PhD in education. And so we all need to come to the plate because we all got family members or somebody we know that's affected by this system. And it's wrong. We need to denounce it and correct it. And I'm calling out all the people that know who I'm talking about. I'm quite sure, and as you whether you know it or not, the last three presidents we had have openly admitted that they'd use drugs. So They didn't turn out too bad. Why would we take a poor young kid, white or black, and incarcerate him for something that our last three presidents have done? It don't make a lot of sense. And we need to get on board and do the right thing. We're getting close to our time expiring here. Ms. Mary, I'm going to let you have the final word since I'm part of your Human Rights Channel. I'm going to let you close out the program, and it's been, as always, been an honor to work with you, and I'm looking forward to working with you. And people, this program will be coming on Wednesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock each week. So,
and that's 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right. Thank you.
The wonderful thing about Blog Talk Radio is that we go out internationally. And so not only all over America, but all over the world. And so we always want to let you know what the time zone is. Mr. Mosley and I are both in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. We're both East Coast people. And we really appreciate your joining us today. And now you know where we're coming from. We're against mass incarceration. We're against wrongful convictions. We are for integrity in law enforcement and corrections. And we appreciate and we applaud people who are in law enforcement and corrections who handle their jobs with integrity. We congratulate you. We do. And we thank you. We are not against police officers. We're not against corrections officers. We are against police brutality. We are against overuse of force by correction officers. And we want to invite people who have issues in their jobs as corrections officers and policemen. If you have issues you'd like to talk about, or if you have comments, if you have suggestions for change, whatever, you should email Mr. Mosley and offer to be a guest on this show. Give your email, please, Mr. Mosley.
Oh, yeah. My email is Britton, B-R-I-T-T-O-N, .Mosley, M-O-S-L-E-Y, @gmail.com.
All right, that's Britton, B-R-I-T-T-O-N, .Mosley, M-O-S-L-E-Y, @gmail.com. So not only if you are police officers or corrections officers, but if you're a part of a justice organization, and I think that Mr. Mosley has some announcements to make about that, but we've run out of time now. You might want to be a guest on his show. And as he said, he'll be on air on Wednesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Mosley, thank you for coming on the air.
You're quite welcome. Thank you, listening audience. I'm looking forward, and I'm really excited about working with everybody, so please participate. We like to hear about everybody's complaints. So we're